All right, let's pray, and we'll go ahead and get started. Dear God, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for every person that came here, God. What a testimony, what a blessing that they want to learn about you, that they want to know about your word and the future that you have in store for them, God. Lord, speak to us this morning. Lord, your word is not a mystery. We can know it for sure, and we can know all about you, God. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would just give us a desire to know more about you and love you with all our heart, Lord. Thank you for every person here, God. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. The word revelation, it means reveal, and actually, literally in the Greek, it means unveil, or uncover, or unearth. Now, people always say, man, the book of Revelation is a mystery, it's an enigma, you can't understand it, it's complicated, confusing, and at a glance, it is. However, I guarantee that if you come every week, I guarantee you can understand the book of Revelation. Because the word revelation means reveal. So God didn't write the book to confuse or to make us wonder or question or anything. God wrote the book, why? To reveal. That's why it's called the Revelation. To reveal things. Not to hide them, not to cover them up, but to reveal. So, your Bible is key. You'll write in it. If you don't, that's okay. You'll learn all about it. Look at Revelation chapter 1. This morning, I want to give you kind of an introduction to Revelation. We could spend 2 years in Revelation. But we don't have that. So we're going to spend the entire year this year. We're going to look at Daniel, because this all ties in together and some other things. But Revelation is going to be the main focus. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. That's who? Us, right? God wants to reveal, show things to us. What must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Now on your notes, I gave you a rough fill-in-the-blank kind of thing so you can follow along. The book of Revelation is very interesting for this reason. Look at the verse. Look at verse, the end of verse 1. He made it known by sending his what? His angel. His angel. The word angel is used 71 times in the book of Revelation. Now why is that important? Well, how many of you guys know at Mount Sinai, God revealed what? The Ten Commandments, the law, right? And Hebrew, you might want to write these down. I don't think I put them on there. Hebrews 2, verse 2. Acts 7:53. And Galatians 3:19. Say that God revealed the law through what? Through angels. So that's kind of the same thing that's happening to John here. John is being, an angel has appeared to John and is giving the revelation of Jesus to John via an angel. Angels play a huge role in the whole book. Now, who wrote the book of John? Trick question. John. All right. Who wrote the book of 1 John? John. 2 John? 3 John? Revelation? John. Exactly. All right. Now, let me flip over to 1 John. 1 John 1:1. Yeah, 1 John, and then stick your finger there and flip over to John chapter 1. Now, let me tell you some interesting facts about John. John, I absolutely love John. John was obsessed with one thing. Can anyone guess what that was? Jesus. John was absolutely obsessed with Jesus. Now, get this. John would have been, some scholars say, about our age. 16, 17 years old when he was being a disciple of Jesus, following Jesus around. Can you guys imagine that? Being the youngest one of Jesus' 12 disciples and being our age following Jesus around? I mean, that would have a huge impact in your life, would it not? Now, get this. John was absolutely obsessed with Jesus. I mean, it's incredible. I love John. Two things about Jesus. Read John, the Gospel of John, John 1:1.
God.
Alright, the Word was God. John was obsessed with the Word. Did you know that John uses the term, the scripture, the word, intertwined with Jesus? He doesn't separate. He uses them the same. So I would say if you want to get to know Jesus, get to know the Word, which is why we're here for the Bible study. Now, there's several things that John wrote. Look at John, the Gospel of John. Look down. I'm going to show you some key verses that he used all the time. I mean, it's incredible. He was with the God in the beginning, verse 2. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the what? The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now that's key. That is key. The darkness has not understood it. Now, the revelation was revealed to who? Us. Who are what? Servants. That's what Revelation says. Christians. The word in the Greek, it literally means bond slave. You write this down. You are slaves to either one of two things. You are a slave to Jesus, or you are a slave to Satan. One or the other. There's no in between. The scripture tells us that you are either a child of the devil, or you're a child of God. One or the other. Now, the light does not understand the darkness. So that's why when people look at the book of Revelation, non-Christians, and they say, this is just for quacks. This is for crazy people. They can't understand it. A Christian, though, has the full capacity, that would be us, has the full capacity to understand God's Word. Look at verse 6. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Now, who is this John? John the Baptist. All right? Don't get him confused. There's John the Baptist, and then there's John the Apostle. John the Apostle was the one who wrote the book of Revelation. There came a man whose name is John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. And that he himself was not the light, but he gave witness to the light, and the true light that gives light to the world, and to every man coming into the world. Now, flip over to 1 John. Now, there's a reason for why I'm telling you this, because you'll see in a minute. Look at 1 John. Here's some key words that you might want to write down that John uses over and over again. And as we study the book of Revelation, you'll be able to see what I mean. 1 John is just a couple pages back behind Revelation. 1 John what? 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this is what we are proclaiming the word of what? Life. Does that sound anything like what we just read? Yeah. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. If you're wrong, it's okay. Yeah. It sounds almost identical to the Gospel of John, right? It's the same author. He calls Jesus the Word. He says, read on down, the life appeared to him. He calls them the life. He says, we proclaim to you in verse 3 what we have seen and heard, that you may have fellowship with us. Look down at verse 5. Get this. This is the message we have heard and declared, heard from him and declared to you, that God is what? Light. And in him there is no darkness at all. See, he's using the same type of things. He's using the same phrases. And in Revelation, he'll do the same thing. Look at verse 6. This is a key verse. Look at this verse. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. That's a good verse. He's saying, if you claim to be a part of Christ, yet your life is no different, your life is still in the Word, then he says you're a liar. There's no difference. There has to be a difference between us and the world. Does that make sense? Okay, some other words. Just I don't have time to go over these, but look at them. Truth, overcome, lamb, light, water of life. Those are all terms that you will see throughout the entire book of Revelation. I mean, you'll see them and you'll say, ah, John. It's just a reminder that John's writing it. Now, interesting. What happened to John? Jesus is on the cross, right? Jesus is on the cross, and he looks to his mother, Mary, and he basically says, John, I want you to take care of Mary for the rest of her life, right? What happened to John after that? After the resurrection, I know you know. What happened after the resurrection, Peter and John run to the tomb, Jesus is alive, and something happens to John. What happens? Now, flip over to John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 21. Now, this is very interesting. Now, I'm going to go ahead and kind of tell you, John was the only apostle, the only disciple of Jesus who was not martyred, was not killed because of his faith. All of the other disciples were killed and persecuted because of their faith in Christ. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded under Nero. James was beheaded as well. Look at verse chapter 21. Very interesting. Jesus has risen from the dead. Look at verse 17. The third time he said to Simon, which is Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And then verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. He says, "Peter, when you're older, if you continue to choose to follow me, you will stretch out your hands, and you won't be able to clothe yourself. People will have to help you, and you'll be basically crucified upside down," is what he's saying. "You'll be stretched out your hands just like I was." Now look what Peter does. Check this out. Look at the end of verse 19. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now who's that? John. John is known as the disciple who Jesus loved. Now get this. He's talking with Peter. All right. He just tells Peter what kind of death he's going to die. And then he says, "Follow me." Right? Now that means, literally, it means follow me as in follow me with, trust me with salvation, keep going, keep following me, keep following my lifestyle. But also, look what happens. Jesus turns and he walks. He's walking this way, it's on the Sea of Galilee, and he's walking. And Peter turns and saw the disciple that Jesus loved was following them. So he's walking with Peter, and John, the younger one, that would be kind of guy our age, says, "Wait a minute, where's Jesus taking Peter?" So they're actually literally walking on the side of the beach, and John runs up to walk with them. And look, this one was the one who had leaned against Jesus at the Last Supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Who's going to betray you? That's what John said earlier. And look, verse 21, when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him? What about John? I know what's going to happen to me, sort of, kind. I'm not sure. But what's going to happen to John?" And look what Jesus says. This is a rumor that got spread throughout all of the early church from this verse. Verse 22. Jesus answered, "If you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brethren that this disciple, John, would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Jesus looks to Peter and he says, "Hey, don't follow me because of John. And don't stop following me because of John. If I ask John, and if I let John stay alive until I return, what's that have to do with you? You're still going to die. You still have to choose to follow me depending on your circumstances, not John's." And so because of this, throughout the whole church, the early church, people would say, "Hey, John's not going to die until Jesus comes back. He's going to remain alive." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "What does it matter if I do that?" Now that's key, because John goes to Ephesus after the resurrection, helps start seven churches, which are the churches we'll study in Revelation, and during Domitian's, I don't know how to pronounce that, D-O-M-I-T-I-N-A, Domitian's reign, Domitian is the new emperor that comes up and begins persecuting the Christians. Now what happens is, he realizes that John is very active in the church, and he sends John to Rome to be executed, to be killed. And what happens, while they're in Rome, the emperor knew of this rumor that John would not die, and so the emperor wanted to make sure that he was going to die. So he orders John to be thrown into a boiling pot of oil in front of everyone. And John is thrown, he's tossed into this boiling pot of oil to be killed, except something happens. John doesn't die. You know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened to them? They were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? And not even the smoke came off their clothes. Same kind of thing happened to John. He's thrown into this boiling pot of oil, and he survives. It freaks everyone out because of this rumor. It scares everyone. The emperor's scared. He says, wait a minute, maybe there's something about this guy. I don't want him around, but I can't kill him. So what am I going to do? He has John exiled to the island of Patmos, which is where, I'm all leading up to this, this does have to do with Revelation, which is where John writes the book of Revelation. Now, Domitian also exiled many other people. He exiled his niece. You know, so if he didn't like him, or he didn't like you, you would get shipped off to an island. But John is going to be on this island, Patmos. He's going to be about 90 years old. 90 years old. John didn't die until he was about 100, 101. He died of old age. When the next emperor came up, Emperor Nerva came up, he released John from the island of Patmos, and John comes back to Asia Minor, to the churches, and he just dies of an old age. Now that's key, because that means John wrote the book of Revelation, I think it's a blank, in 96 AD. And I don't have time to tell you why that's important, but I'll tell you next week. It's really important. 96 AD. Now, flip back over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Not chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. Who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now here it is. This is why you guys came this morning. I bet you guys didn't know this. You did not expect this. Some of you, maybe some of you did. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. There's three things. Did you know that just by coming this morning and hearing, we're talking about Revelation, you are blessed. Isn't that cool? That's special about the book of Revelation. It's the only book of the Bible that Jesus says, hey, if you read this book and you hear it, you'll be blessed. I think that's really cool. So three things. The first one, number one, is him who reads. Him who reads the book of Revelation. The second one, number two, is hears. John also says in his gospel, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. And then the third one is keeps. If you have a New King James Version, it said, blessed is he who hears, who reads, and who keeps. Now that is key. That is very key. Now, man, I don't have time to do it. Okay, flip over to 2 Peter. Well, keep your finger in Revelation. Keep your finger in Revelation and flip to 2 Peter. Okay, Revelation 1, at the end of verse 3, what does it say? What's the last phrase that it says? Because the time is near. How many of you guys, I got to think about this. What if we knew the future? I mean, like, the small things. Like, for instance, if we knew who was going to win the football game tonight, wouldn't that be kind of boring? I mean, why would you go to the game? I mean, if you know who's going to win, I mean, that kind of makes life boring. I mean, I guess it would help, you know, guys, if you're going to ask a girl on a date, I guess that would, if it helped for you to know the future there, because, I mean, you know whether she's going to reject you or not. And the girls, you would also be able to run down the hallway the other direction if you knew he was coming, if you didn't want to date him. But anyway, I mean, certain things I would like to know, but also think about, if you were going on vacation, and you knew while you're on vacation that maybe a parent or grandparent or someone in your family was going to die while you were on vacation, that would kind of ruin the vacation, wouldn't it? I mean, it would, just that thought, knowing it. So I'm glad we don't know all the details of the future. I mean, I really am, because that it would make life boring, and terror would be in our lives, you know, if you knew. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so the Bible says the time is near. That's important. Write this down. Only God can tell and reveal the future. Only God. I wonder why psychic reading places go out of business. Couldn't they have known that before they started a business? If I was a psychic, I'd go get the lottery numbers. I mean, why don't they ever win the lottery? Why do they go out of business? They don't know the future. They don't know the future. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah, you guys are like, man, I've never used my Bible so much. Good. Man, that's great. Isaiah 44, verse 7. God said, look at verse 6, at the end of verse 6. I am the... Oh, get this. This is cool. This is cool. This is a random moment for Sean. In Revelation, what does Jesus call himself at the beginning? He says, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Where does he get that? Where does Jesus get that? Look at Isaiah, at the end of Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. What's it say? I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Do you see that? Write this down. Over 278 scriptures in Revelation make reference to the Old Testament. Over 278 make reference or allude to the Old Testament. Do you know how many scripture verses there are in Revelation? There's only 408. That's over half. Over half the book of Revelation makes reference to the Old Testament. Revelation holds the Word of God in such a high standard. It's incredible. Anyway, that was free. Verse 7 in Isaiah says, who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people. What is yet to come? Yes. Let him foretell what is to come. God's saying, just try it. Anyone, try to predict the future accurately. God says, only I can do it. Only I am good at it. Notre Dame's? Yeah, didn't do so well. Didn't do so well. God, though, fulfills his word. So, here's the question. Here's the question. How does this apply to me? How many of you guys came because you were curious? You know what? Yes. Good. Excellent. Good. My prayer for you guys this year is that through this book, the Revelation, by the way, the Revelation, not Revelations, just one revelation of Jesus Christ, that you will come not because of curiosity, but you will come to be changed. Because when you know that the time is near, when you know that Jesus is coming, man, that's got to affect your life. That's got to affect your life. Let me ask you this question, then we'll be done. This question. Like, two questions. Number one, you can write it down. Just for yourself. Don't show it to your friend or anything. What is the number one, the most important thing in your life right now? Just think about it. Write it down. Think about it for yourself. The thing, I know a good way to say it. What do you spend the most time doing? That'll show you what's the most important. What's the thing you spend the most time, the most energy, the number one thing in your life? What? Anything. Sports, drama, whatever. Anything. Academics, whatever. Yeah. Some of you are like, ha, academics. Yeah, right. All right. You got it down? Everyone got it? All right. Sort of, kind of? All right. Second question. 200 years from now. 200 years from now. What will be the most important thing in your life? 200 years from now. What will be the most important thing in your life? That's what the book of Revelation does. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, the end time for you is when you die. That's the end time. The Bible says the time is near. And it is. And we'll go and people say, well, why hasn't Jesus come yet? It's a great question. And we'll be able to talk about that more next week. But here's the deal. The book of Revelation, man, if you like drama, if you like stories, if you like adventure, horror, scary, excitement, whatever, it's a huge story. It's a great story. But it's a story that not only creates curiosity, but it has to create change in your life. 200 years from now, what will be the most important thing in your life? And I challenge you, whatever's the most important thing 200 years from now, live for that. Live for that. That will change your life. That's what happened to John. John realized that when he died, the only thing that mattered was Jesus. John realized that in life, the only thing that would be remembered would be Jesus. And then he chose to live for it. He became obsessed with Jesus. He was persecuted, but he was willing. He was willing to be radical for Jesus. That's my prayer for you guys. I challenge you with that. And see what God does. Let's pray. And we'll get going. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you promised that we are blessed. That we are promised that we are blessed when we study your word. Lord, I pray that as we begin this book, Lord, it isn't a mystery. There are so many wonderful truths about You in this book. Lord, show us them. Lord, when we talk about Armageddon, when we talk about the Last Judgment, when we talk about the rapture, when we talk about the tribulation, when we talk about the Antichrist, the son of the beast, when we talk about all those things, show us what You want us to learn. Reveal it to us. God, this is an exciting book. I thank You, Lord, for everything You're going to teach us this year. Lord, thank You for every person that came here. Lord, I pray that they would go and leave excited about Your Word and come back next week with a friend and someone else that they may know about the Jesus that Revelation talks about. Thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings, God. In Your name I pray. Amen.